Matthew chapter 6. We're going to talk about investments, investing. You know, God's got an economy. God runs a pretty good economy, by the way. I want to invest in that economy. And today, Matthew chapter 6, if you look there, verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, we're learning this year about living by faith. Walking by faith. You know, when the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, for we walk by faith, not by sight, it's not talking about, you know, you putting a foot in front of the other. It is a word that defines life, that it's always in motion. And it always has a direction. As a Christian, my life, I live not by my eyes, not by my feelings, not by my past, but by my faith. You better have a good faith. You better have something you're trusting, something that actually is worth following. That's why a lot of people don't get saved, because they haven't come to the place where they can trust Jesus. Once you trust Him, He's easy following, isn't He? So we're learning how to live by faith and not by sight. Now that includes, you know, our life of faith does not only talk about what we do on a Sunday coming to church, it's what we do with our money on Monday and on Tuesday, how we spend our money. Do you know you're supposed to spend your money by faith too? A few weeks ago, I taught you two things. I taught you about giving by sight. And if you remember, that's the tithe. It is something you're supposed to do. Now, when I say that tithing is giving by sight, that is what it is. It is, I look at what I got in my pay packet, and then I pay by sight. I know how much I got, and I know how much I'm supposed to give. That's giving by sight. It meets the needs of this church. We have bills to pay, just like you do. It is an obligation, by the way. Did you know tithing is not for rich people? It's for every people. It is for all believers, and it honors God when we put Him first in our finances, even before the government. Now, Christian tithes, going to John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, you don't have to go there because I got a lot to say. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, when He says do something, we don't do it because I have to. We do it because we love to. And even tithing can be fun. Amen? Come on, I got one amen out of that. But then I introduced this idea that there is a giving by faith. And when you give by faith, you're giving beyond the tithe. You're giving to missionaries. And it's, when you tithe, you give because you got money. When you give by faith, you're giving not because you have money, but because you have to give. There's something inside of you that says, I've been so blessed. I've been so saved. Some of you are only just barely saved. I'm so saved. Amen. I have been so saved, I can't help but want to give. So giving by faith says, I don't have any money, but I'll find some. Amen. That's what giving by faith is. It is a joy. It's an opportunity. And you know, it honors God when we tithe, but it pleases God when we give. I told you all these things. It's just a basic review. But I asked you two questions then. All right? I'll ask you them again. You ready? Are you tithing? That's a personal business. I'll just ask it again. You don't have to answer it, but you will answer to God. Are you tithing? Did you get paid this week or this month? If you did, and if you're saved, did you tithe? That's how we are. That's what we do. You ask yourself, am I tithing? Or am I throwing a few bob in every once in a while? But then I ask you a second question. I'll ask you again, are you giving as well? See, some people say, all right, I put my tithe in. I've given. No, you haven't given at all. You know, when you pay the bill for your dinner at the restaurant, you haven't tipped yet, have you? when you put some more money on top of what you owe, now you've given them a tip. Amen? You've given them some extra because of their hard work or whatever. And when we pay what we owe, that's our tithe. And then when we get to do more, that's giving. And a lot of people, that's revolutionary to them. Giving beyond what we tithe is what we, as Christians, should want to do. Because, you see, tithing meets the needs of this church. Giving meets the needs of others. That's the point here. We focused all last month on the greatest need of people. What's the greatest need of people? It's not housing, food, clean water, even though those are desperately needed. That's not the biggest and most important need of people. The most important need of the people is to hear the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that take food to the poor. Is that what it says? No, it says how beautiful, how priceless are the feet of those who decide to take and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. But how are people going to hear and believe the good news about eternal life without some preachers going, without some missionaries going into the farthest reaches of the world? And how are they going to go except we send them? So now we're back in our pocket, and that's where giving comes in. We've looked at Matthew 16. Let's look one more time. Let me show you these two verses. Then we're going to pray and dive right in. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 19 again. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay up for yourselves treasure upon earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Father, please help me. Help us all, God, to hear your word this morning. Not think about anything else, but what you are saying to us as if you are right here. You taught this. You spoke on a hillside to countless thousands of people, and you said these words, and it was hard for them to hear as it is for us. But it transforms nations. Transforms people, changes them from takers to givers, teaches us about the love of God and about how much He gave and how we can do no less. So Lord, I pray that you just help me and speak to every heart, meet every need, change every rough edge in us this morning, and for somebody to realize, oh, may it be true, that somebody would realize that they could receive the greatest gift ever given. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray somebody would understand this isn't about money, this is about the heart. And we, Lord, I needed a new heart 33 years ago, and you gave me when I asked. Would it be possible that somebody would also ask you this morning? All in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. By way of background, let's just talk about money. First of all, when we talk about money, let me talk about an economy. I'm not talking about an, I'm talking about the economy. You see, the Irish economy, I think we hear all the time about, don't we? The UK economy, the EU economy, they're all broke. But I want to talk about the economy of God because Earth's economy stinks. There in verse 19, it says there's moths, there's rust, and there are politicians. In the original. They're right there. You know, moths eat everything we collect. My grandmother had a chest. This chest, you'd open it up and it had an aroma. It was amazing, but with these little balls put in there. I thought they were candy. Maybe that's why I got a problem today. But there were these moth balls in there. My grandmother had quilts and dolls and things that belonged to her grandmother. And if she didn't have those moth balls in there, moths would get in and would devour them. Because they're always, always hungry for the things that we collect. Rust. Man, you can have a Lamborghini. Give it 50 years and it's rusted. It ruins everything we think is precious. Thieves. You can have the best alarm and they're smarter. Thieves break in and steal. They take what is valuable to us. And the more global our economy becomes, the more we gather our economies together in one unified global economy, the bigger they fall. I mean, it's stupid. I wish I could stand before the TDs and say, stop this insanity. We don't need our banks linked up with every other bank. Give Ireland a chance to make it on its own. Give countries back the ability that if something fails, it doesn't bring the whole country down. Let a bank fail, not the whole country. But all our politicians believe the more we come together, the more stable we are. Have you found that to be true? I mean, the disasters are not getting smaller because we're coming together. The disasters are bigger. But do we pay attention? Global economy. Did you know? Oh, stay here for a second. The amount of debt that people are incomprehensible. Ireland spends 117% of all the income it gets every year. What that means is they spend 17% more as a government and as a country. We spend 17% more than we get. So we're constantly racking up one-fifth of our income. We then take and spend more on credit cards, in debts. Now, that's only Ireland. Italy is spending 127% of the money that it got in. So it's like you getting, I got 100 euros this week in the post. So I went out and I bought a 127-euro little tablet. You spent 127, but you only got 100. Yes, I do that every week. What? Look at all the gadgets I've got. I mean, I go to the movie. I got a bigger TV. Yeah, but you're spending 17% more than you took in. I know, but it works. Only for a little while longer. Italy's operating 127%. Iceland. Yeah, they're only spending 97% of what they take in. They got something fixed. Oh, but what about Greece? Greece is spending 157%. For every 100 euros that they take in, they spend 57 more. They'll spend 157 and they only get 100. And they're getting in debt every week of every year at that rate. Poverty's not going away. All the spending in the world is not changing this earth's economy. But I found out that heaven's economy is in great shape. Amen? You just read it there in verse 20. It says, lay up for yourselves treasures where? Because there's no moth there, there's no rust there, and there's no politicians there. I told you it's in the original. You know, in heaven, the buildings are made of gold. That evidently would tell me if you came into a city and the streets are made of gold and the buildings are made of gold and the gate is one pearl, you'd say they're doing pretty good economically. Amen? Wouldn't you? Wow. You know, in God's economy, water turns into wine. Five loaves and two fish are enough to feed 5,000 people. God's economy works. I think God can take care of absolutely every last woman and child, man, woman, and child on this planet. I think God can take care of this world. Amen? Somebody said this. One thing is for sure. God is not running out of money. I thought that's a good quote. Question is this. How does somebody tap into such a limitless resource as the economy of God? The only way to do it is to invest in it. It's the only way you're going to tap in to such an economy is by investing. Let me give you four truths about money real quick. Number one, everyone needs it. Don't be stupid and say, I don't need any money. You're lying. Number two, you're deceived. We all need money, okay? The world needs money. Even Jesus did. It's time to pay the tax, and he says, Peter, you got to go fishing. Peter went, good, I haven't been fishing in weeks. He says, it won't be just for the thrill of fishing. You got to catch a fish, and when you open up the fish's mouth, there'll be a piece of money in there. It'll be enough to pay the tax for you and me. Jesus needed money. Don't say, oh, really spiritual people, they go up on top of a pole and they just sit there and they live in poverty all the rest of their life. That's not a spiritual person. That's a dork. You can't live without money. You know, I meet a lot of people who try. What they mean is they live without their money. They're trying to live on my money. But we'll go there another minute. Everyone needs money. Secondly, go to Proverbs chapter 10. You can leave Matthew now. Proverbs chapter 10. Second point about money is you got to work to get it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. And a slack hand is something that is slow to move. It hesitates to put out the effort. A slack is lazy. And you'll become poor if you're not working. But the head of the diligent maketh rich. You know what God says? Work. God says, you want money? You work for it. My dad left when I was 12. But there was a couple of things he taught me before he bowed out of the marriage and the family and everything else. He taught me to work. And I was working when I was 14 years old. I was still going to school, but in the evening, I would be you know what a flatbed truck is? It was one of these Ford trucks, man, everybody wanted to have. Anyway, this truck would pull up from my house. I'd pop in the back of the truck, and there'd be five or six of us back there, 14, 15 years old. And this guy would drive us, and it'd be getting dark in Texas. He'd drive us to an estate, and he'd drop us off, and then go drop somebody off another estate. And I would go from door to door and ask people, would you like to buy a year's subscription to the newspaper? Because some paper boy would come along the next day and deliver it, either during the week or during the weekends. Remember the days when newspapers were delivered to your door? I got, for every person who spent $100 to get the newspaper delivered, I got $1. But I was happy. I was making money. From 14 years on, I've been working. Hadn't done me any harm. Matter of fact, I'm a lot more sane working than I would be not working, folks. Everybody needs to work. Money doesn't just fall out of the sky. God commands that every... You ever seen a kid who just, for the first time, sees a teller machine? And, you know, your mom goes up and... And then... Wow! So that's where money comes from. Teach the kid, no, that's not where money comes from. God commands us to work hard, to be diligent. You got to work by the sweat of your brow, Genesis says. It is a shame that the past few generations of people have decided that money is to be provided by the government and not by hard work. You know what I believe? I'm sitting here, he's rubbed off on me. I want to have a political stand. Meaning I just want to go and shake the politicians up and say, quit taxing everybody. Allow people to get back to work and make their own money. Let them keep their own money. You'll make more money that way. The government will. Everybody will be a whole lot happier and people will be a lot more saner. Hard work. The truth is you cannot give something away. Here we're talking about giving now. Here's the connection. You can't give something away that you don't have. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. See, Pastor, I want to be a giver, but I don't have any money. Wow. Let me give you the cure for that. Acts 20 and verse 35. Book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things. How that so, what's the next word? Laboring. Is that a good word or a bad word? It's a good word. That so laboring, he ought to support the... There are people who can't work, aren't there? There are people who need to be taken care of. Amen. But we need to have a generation of people who say, I want to work so that I can help the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How can you enjoy the blessing of giving if you don't have anything to give? If you don't have any money in your pocket? I know some pastors who are pastors of very small churches. They work a job. They also pastor the church. They have no money. They have nothing. But when it comes to giving to missions, and when it comes to, they do their best, but when it comes to being able to give so a missionary can go to the foreign field, you know what those guys do? They find a car out on a lot somewhere. They buy it. They bring it home. Spend 2 weeks fixing it up. And they sell it. And they make $100. And then they put the $100 into the offering. And they said, that's for a missionary. He says, I don't have any money, but I'm going to get some. This is how Christians are supposed to be. You're not going to have something to give unless you earn it. Don't steal it from your sister. Don't steal it from your mom. Get your own money. I don't care if you're 15 years old or 50. Get your own money. Get a way to get some money so you can be a giver. I'll show you another one. Ephesians 4. Go to the right some more. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. And I think everybody in jail ought to be mandatory that they take courses on how to work and how to get a job when they get out. Because look at verse 28. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him what? Labor. Not hard labor just so he's punished, but labor working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. A person in jail, a person ended up in prison, should be at work at 8 a.m. and should work all day and earn some money so they have some money to go, and then they have to go down to some place where people are really needy, and they say, you know what, all week long I've only made 50 euros, but man, I want to give that to them. That will change their life. Hard work. And what a wonderful thing to be able to enjoy the blessing of giving. And a lot of people don't enjoy that blessing. Now, don't talk to me about government and government ministers. Government ministers always talk about, we need to give this. We need to support this need. There's an earthquake over. You know what he's saying? We need to take your money to give to them. It's a shame that people aren't allowed to have a burden and a concern themselves. Oh, the government will take care of them. No, you take care of them. I want to take care of them. See, the politicians get up there and say, we're going to give €1 million to this disaster relief. Where'd they get it from? They got it from your pocket. They took it without asking you. That's not giving. It's thievery. I believe Christians ought to, and they usually are, they ought to be the best givers. We ought to meet the needs of things. The government shouldn't be in that business of taking our money to give. That's our business, and it is our blessing. What I'm talking about is a mindset of, I don't have to worry about giving. The government will take care of the needs of the world. No, don't leave it to them. You take back what is ours. And that's the privilege and the blessing of being a giver. Work to get it. Third, money doesn't last long here. You ever notice that? Go to Proverbs 27. Some of you ladies are laughing. Money doesn't last long. Where'd that 50 go? You know, I put two 20s in my wallet every week. And at the end of the week, they have not multiplied. Don't understand it. Proverbs chapter 27. I like how, you know, your Bible is the most amazing book ever written because it deals with everything that's important, even money. Proverbs 27 and verse 24 says this. For riches are not forever. The wisest man who ever spoke wrote those words. And doth the crown endure to every generation? A lot of people think so. Crown meaning, here's Henry the First, and then Henry the Second. Pass the king to Henry the Third, Fourth, Fifth.
Sixth, seventh, eighth.
But it doesn't keep going on forever, does it? After a little while, a little coup comes in there and another dynasty starts. Meaning that you can't count on money always being there. It disappears. Go to chapter 23. Go back a few pages to chapter 23 and verse 5. I love how the Bible describes some things. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Talking about money. For riches certainly make themselves... I'm sure I had a 20-year-old note in my pocket, and it made wings, and it was gone. makes wings. I lost my place here. There we are. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Speaking of money. You know, the more you have, the faster it disappears. You ever notice that? It just does. And you try to keep it, and you can't sleep because the stock market's going down and you're losing money. Somebody tried to steal it. It's just this constant battle. Money doesn't last long here. Lastly, riches usually bring trouble. Go to the next book. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 12. Just the next book, Ecclesiastes, also written by Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 12. The sleep of a... there's that bad word again. The sleep of a laboring man is what? Sleep. It's sweet. Sorry, I'm getting there. Whether he eat little or much, he's happy. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. It won't help him to sleep. Oh, I got so much money, I can sleep tonight. No, he'll be panicking. That's what they do. You know, money will give you a false confidence. Go back to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. You better be careful about making money the priority in your life. Proverbs 18 and verse 11. There's nothing wrong with having money. Wish I had some. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 11 says this. The rich man's wealth is his what? That's where he lives. He lives in his wealth. The righteous run, is a high wall in his own conceit. So he builds up his empire to protect him, and he says, this is my strong city. Will it withstand all the troubles of life? Money doesn't buy you hardly anything, folks. Matter of fact, it goes so far as to this. Go to Luke chapter 18. I know we're going back and forth here, but it's worth it. Luke chapter 18, verse 24. Luke 18, 24. When Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? You know, your money may keep you from getting saved. I know a lot of people who will go to hell because their friends are keeping them from getting saved. I know a lot of people who will end up in hell because their image that they might have to lose is keeping them from getting saved. And it'd be a shame if you have some money and you're more worried about your money than you are your soul. What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? There's no money that can value how much you alone are worth to God. So don't let money come between you and getting saved. And I know a lot of people who are just too rich to get born again. I'm glad I was poor when I got saved. You know, when I was growing up, we were so poor I couldn't pay attention. You'll get that in a minute. The best thing to do with your money is not spend it. You know, you get some money, you go, woo! Shopping mall, here I come. Best thing to do with your money is invest it. People do it all the time. Remember Aircom? They changed the name to Aircon. Remember that? How many remember that? That deal where they came in and says, this is the way that we're giving back to the Irish consumer, the ability to make some money off a semi-state corporation. You'll be able to benefit from investing in this company. People lost their shirts. Talked into investing in a bum company. People invest all the time. How about the Irish banks? Did you know the Irish banks used to run per share over 40 euros each? I looked this morning and went, Bank of Ireland share price, 32 cents for a share. To have a share in Bank of Ireland, which was supposed to be the most stable bank in Ireland, amen? Used to be up almost 50 euros. I couldn't find out how high it had gone. It had gone way up there. It's at 32 cents. What it is right now. People invest all the time. I want to get a spirit about us that wants to invest our lives and our money in things that are eternal. When we talk about investment, we're talking about to lay out money with a view of obtaining something back. Well, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Jesus said, lay up for yourselves. Treasures where? In heaven. You mean I get to enjoy it there? Yeah. You know, a lot of people are going to get to heaven. There's not going to be much enjoyment up there because they sent nothing up. Lay out money with a view of obtaining or income or profit. The Bible word is sowing or planting. Every farmer has some seed and he plants the seed. Why? So that he can harvest it. He doesn't do it just so that it looks pretty after a while.
Look at all them seed I planted. Let's just look at them.
No. He wants to harvest it and take it to market and make some money off of it. Sowing and planting. But the word we're looking at here in Luke or Matthew is where we were looking, is the word laying up. And it means storing it up somewhere where it won't disappear. You know, a lot of people used to think your mattress was a safe place to put your money. Remember that? Grandma, you got any money? I'll be right back. Here you go. Here you go, Junior. The Bible word is laying it up somewhere where it's safe and where it increases. Now, by way of review, let me say this again. Giving starts with tithing. You don't give until you tithe. Tithing, you say, what is tithing? Tithing is 10% of your income that you made, say, this week. Say you made 200 euros this week. Drop off the last zero, and you get your tithe. It's 20 euros. Can you close that window? I think the women are freezing over here. And Lily, you said I need to keep you awake. I'm trying, right? If you made 85 euros this week, you drop the last, well, there's no zero. You bring the dot over there, and it becomes 8 euros and 50 cents. That's your tithe. Oh, what if you made 1,200 euros? Oh, I wish I made 1,200 euros last week. Well, drop off the last zero. It's 120 euros. That is your tithe. By the way, that's not very hard, is it? It's not that complicated. All right, what formula do I use, Pastor? You know, it's not the formula that's a problem. It's our heart that's a problem. I was telling somebody the other day, and I said, you know, I got saved on the 15th of June, 1980. It took a few months before my wallet got saved. My wallet was fighting tooth and nail, amen? He said, no, don't open me. Tithing. You know, it's only when you tithe that you can now actually start investing. It's like paying your bills. Do not get the idea that, Pastor, we don't have any electricity. We don't have any gas. Car's out of petrol. I don't have any insurance. But I'm saving every day. I'm putting away all the money into the account. You need to pay your bills. Once you've paid your bills, then you can save money. Amen? You understand what we're saying here? It is not right to take what belongs as a bill that you owe and say, well, I'm going to save it and not spend it. You've already spent it. You must pay it. And you know what? Everything I have, everything you have, has been given to you by God. And he says, now give me 10% back so that I am first in your life. Wow. That's all you want? Thank God. There are four reasons why people do not tithe. You ready for this? And it's going to hit you. One of you is going to be in this list. You ready? Number one, because you're ignorant. People don't tithe because they don't know about tithing. All right, that's fine. Now you're not going to be so ignorant after today. Told you I was going to get you. People don't tithe. They don't know about tithing. So, okay. Then there are those who forget to tithe. You know, they just, I call it laziness. Now, you can get all upset at me all you want. But you come in, you go home. You come in the next week, go home. Come in the next week, you go, there's something I'm forgetting. You know what that is? Laziness. Now, your bank won't let you be lazy. They'll send you a warning, won't they? Your electricity will send you a warning. Your credit card will phone you up and say, hello, Mr. Ledbetter. There seems to be a problem with your account. We have not gotten any money in the last month. I no habla English. Click. You know what they're pointing out? I'm too lazy to make sure that they were a priority. A lot of people don't tithe because they don't make it a point to tithe. Third, there are people who are afraid of tithing. You know what tithing is? You're losing control. That's what I'm supposed to do? Well, I don't want to do it. You're afraid of giving God control of your finances. That's stupid. I think God has the right to be in control of everything. That's why Jesus said, not my will. Why don't you put money in there? Not my money, Lord. It's not mine anymore. It's yours. People are afraid to lose control of their money. And the fourth reason is because people are greedy. I got 1,200 euros this week. Oh, what can I get with that? You can't get anything until you've tithed. But you're thinking of every last cent of what you can get, what you can play with, what you can purchase, the gadgets, the things, the shops, the dinners, the coffees, everything that you think about, and you forgot God. Is that right? It's not right. You know what 1 Timothy 6:10 says? The blank of money is the root of all evil. What is it? Money's not the root of all evil. The love of it. See, I'm a Christian. I don't love money. Well, let's see your checkbook. Let's check it out. It's private. Yeah, I know it is. But at the judgment seat of Christ, it won't be so private anymore. I thought this was going to be a great message, brother. I thought we were going to have fun. You know, once you've tithed, now you can give. I have to establish that because if I talked about giving, everybody say, wow, I've been tithing, but now I'm going to give. I'm not going to tithe anymore. You can't do that. Stay with the program, okay? When you've tithed, then you can give to people's needs. Then you can show love. And you can start giving for souls to get saved. So how do you transfer money into God's economy? That's our quest here. Go to Luke chapter 6. You're in chapter 17 there. Go to Luke chapter 6 in verse 38. Luke chapter 6. See, Pastor, how do you give by faith? I'm struggling with how to live by faith. Now you're saying give by faith. How do I do this? First thing. You ready? You ready? Luke chapter 6, what's the first word? In verse 36. Verse 38, sorry. 6:38. Give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down and shaken together. It's like when in the olden days, you would buy things from the shop and they would take a scoop and they'd scoop up something, you know, beans or whatever. And they scoop it up and they would tap it on the table and it would settle and then they'd scoop some more and they'd pile it on the top so it's to the brim, amen? And when God gives you, He doesn't go, oh, here you go. No, He fills it up, not just to the brim. Look what else He says. Press down. He actually, like you do your rubbish bin. Press down, shaken together, and it ends up running over. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, that's measure out, it shall be measured to you again. What's the first thing you need to do in order to start putting money into God's economy? You start giving. And this means this. Are you ready? It's deep. Andrew, help everybody get a breath of air after I say this. You ready? Don't wait until you have money before you start giving it away. Oh, Pastor, if I won the lottery. Wasn't that an interesting question we got the other night? Oh, but you know, if I won the lottery, Pastor, I'd be a great giver. You're a liar. If you're waiting until you have money to give, you will not give then. The idea is Jesus says, hey, from your heart, give. You know, you've got money somewhere. It's usually in the couch. You know, it's in the car, underneath the seat. If there's something, you say, I don't have any money. You've got money. Everybody's got money. Don't wait and say, oh, if I only had a job. You know, you get a job, I think, faster if you became a giver. Amen. Because you're taking and you're saying, God, I'm going to give. You say give, and then it comes back. We wait for it to come into our lap, and then, oh, then I'll be a giver. You're wasting God's time. Do it the way God said it. Become a giver. I don't care if it's a 50-cent piece. Be a giver. Give, and then you'll have more. Just start giving money. Start giving. Say, I don't have any time. Make some time. Say, I don't have any love. Love somebody. Say, well, I don't feel love. Doesn't matter. Love. That's giving. Secondly, when you give it away. Give money away to people that will never be able to pay you back. Now you're investing in God's program. Go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 12. Luke 14 in verse 12. Then said he, speaking of Jesus, then said he also to him that bade him. He had been invited to a dinner, and Jesus said, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy family, your brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also, aren't they all Irish, bid thee again. Oh, well, we'll have you over next week. And a recompense, a payback be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of just God will take it back. Isn't that an amazing thing? God says, don't give to people who are going to give right back. Give to people who will never pay you back. Give your money away. That is when you start to transfer this money into heaven's economy. God's return is astronomical. Matthew chapter 19. Go back to the left, find Matthew chapter 19, and verse 21. Jesus is talking to a man who's very, very good living, clean living, very diligent, very hardworking, and very wealthy. In verse 20, the young man said, and Jesus gives him a set of commandments, not all of them. He skipped the first one. He said, I need you to do all these things, and man, you'll be good enough for heaven. And the guy says, verse 20, the young man said back to Jesus, all these things have I kept. I've done them from my youth up. What lack I yet? Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, you want to be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, who will never be able to pay you back. And thou shalt have treasure where? So, I'm telling you folks, you give not expecting anything back. Do you know, when you tithe, can I be real blunt with you? When you tithe, God will take care of you. But when you give, you may starve. Did I say that? You see, when you're tithing, God's going to take care of you because you're obeying. God always takes care of people who do things His way. Amen. But when you start to give, you probably are going to be giving out of what you need. And you'll suffer. But you will have transferred that money through distance and time, and is waiting for you in heaven now. That's investing and laying up treasures in heaven when you give to people who never say, 10 years ago, you gave me a loan, and it turned out to be I ran away, but you gave me 1,000 euros, here's 1,000 euros back. Nope. That's a wonderful thing to happen, but it doesn't normally happen. But whatever you give, when it's given and you don't want anything back, that's actually transferred now to heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? Give and then give it away. Go to Proverbs 13. Proverbs, middle of your Bible, next book after Psalms is Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, in verse 7. Here's a man who makes himself rich. Oh, he's worked hard at accumulating everything. It says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet what does he have at the end? I was talking to somebody, I think it was yesterday. There was a real big phase back in the 1960s in America. People were making a lot of money, actually in the late 1950s. And people were making a lot of money. It was post-World War II. Businesses were booming. So much money that a couple of guys got the idea that when they died, they wanted to go out with style. So a man had a custom-built car, a Cadillac, and it was gold-plated. Imagine having a car that is just all the way around, leather seats, the works. You know what he wanted it for? So he could be put in it when he died, and it buried with him. The man standing over there said, wow, what a way to die. How much did he leave? And the other guy said, all of it. He didn't take it with him. He didn't take his money with him. You know what I get to do? I give my money away, and I know where it is. I've laid up treasures in heaven because I give away. Just give it away. There is, let me finish the verse, there in 13:7. There is that maketh himself rich, and yet at the end of his life he has nothing. And there is that maketh himself what? I said, Pastor, you should be saving for retirement.
I'm not that old yet.
Pastor, there's so much you need to be saving up for. I know. All the things that are needed. The house needs fixed, you know. We need the car fixed, you know. Need the back fixed. Anyway, whatever. All the things. But making yourself poor is not so bad when you read the last part of the verse. And yet he hath great riches. Amen. There's a church there in the book of Revelation chapter 2. It talks about a church there that was poor, it says. But they were rich. Compared to the world, the church was meeting in rented facilities. Church couldn't go from month to month. It couldn't pay its bills. Could just pray from week to week. Are we going to get enough money? Kind of a church I know about me. And it says, but they were rich. That's how I want to be. I'd rather be that kind of rich than this world's kind of rich. Now, some of you are so stingy with your money, man. Go to Matthew chapter 6. I don't know how many people can say amen to this now. How do you know I'm stingy, Pastor? Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1. Take heed. Those are strong words. Take heed that ye do not your alms, your charity giving, before men, to be seen of them. Don't give so that people can see, oh, what a big giver he is. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, when you're doing something for somebody else, when you're being a giver, do not sound a trumpet. Ledbetter's about to give. Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they already have their what? They got their payment back. They're paid back. Pastor, I got 1,000 euros this week, and I'm, folks, listen to me, I'm giving it all to Jesus. They put it in the offering. Okay. Destitute. Oh, you got your reward, dude. God owes you nothing. Amen, amen, and amen. But if you do it and you eat beans for the rest of the week and nobody else knows about it, great is your reward in heaven. Amen. Some of you are so stingy. How do you know I'm stingy? You know, the worst giver in this room is the person who cannot forgive. That's where it begins, is in the heart. The worst giver in this room is the person that just collects gadgets and thinks of themselves and can't think of anybody else. Look at your closet. Look at your life and see the things that you have surrounded around yourself. Are you listening? Wake up. And see, am I a giver? Or do I only think about me? The Bible says you already have your rewards. And they don't last. I want a return on what little money I have that lasts forever. You know, Christ didn't teach you to live that way. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was what? Was he ever? Yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You know, he gave everything. He teaches us what a giver's like. He actually lost out in the deal, didn't he? Every time he blessed somebody, did something for somebody, he never got anything back. As a matter of fact, he's walking along one day, and a woman crawling on the ground, on her knees, trying to get through the crowd just to touch the hem of his garment. As soon as she does, Jesus says, hey, who touched me? And Peter says, you're thronged by people, Jesus. You ask who's touching you? And he says, yeah, virtue's gone out of me. He lost strength. He went, he says, somebody took something from me. Amen. And he didn't go, I'm Superman, I'm back up again. No, it weakened him. Because by his poverty, by his loss, he was making other people better, amen? And when you give, that's how Jesus taught us, is you don't walk away going, ah, I got more money now. No, you just transferred it into a heavenly account. You know, Jesus was born poor. He had nowhere to lay his head. And in Matthew 28, go to Matthew chapter 20. And I'm done. Matthew chapter 20. In verse 28. Chapter 20, Matthew chapter 20 in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. That's the word serve. That's to give, to do for others. And to, what's the next words? To give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ didn't teach you to be stingy. You won't find, most of us are the most anti-Christ that we can be. He taught how to give, and all we do is take. All we do is hold on to. All we do is think about ourselves. Jesus didn't teach us that, did he? Give away your money. Give it away. Third of all, give for souls to be saved. For nations to be changed for good. Sometimes you see it on the news and you see just how wicked and how awful it is in other countries, amen? You look at it and go, I'm glad I live in Ireland. How many are glad you live in Ireland? Come on. How many are glad you live in Ireland? Amen. And there's a lot of places out there where it's rough. Wouldn't it be nice to make an impact, not just give somebody food, but actually change a generation of people? You do that by giving. I want us to have a burden so that we give, so that men and women, real people, can afford to go to the uttermost parts of the world and tell someone how to be born again. That's what I want to do. We're not just here so you can sit there. We're here so that we can give so that Brother Figali can be there. Amen? We're here so that, yes, we can reach our families, we can teach our kids, we can minister to one another, we can help one another, but that's not the biggest reason. The greatest thing is so that we get to give so that somebody else can hear what we already know. Oh, I didn't know I had to argue. Give for souls to get saved and for nations to be saved, to change for good. Give so that missionaries, church planters, soul winners can go somewhere in this world that are unreachable. And that's investing your money in a sure investment. All right, now here we are. Pull out your wallet. Andrew, would you hand those out? Now I want everybody to get one of these cards. Well, let me have half of them. We'll get somebody else in. Yeah, you look mean enough. You make sure everybody gets one. Now, no, I'm not going to ask you to take out your wallet, although I should. I'm not going to ask you to give anything right now. I'm going to ask you, are you ready to give? These cards will allow you to make a commitment and say, you know what? I'm not tithing, but I'm going to start. You don't put your name on there. You don't need to. I don't need Dennis Linehan. I don't need to know. I just need you to make a commitment. And this is the way to do it. You're going to put it in that green box. And you're going to say, Lord, you know. You see, you already know all this, but I'm making a commitment to change this morning. Becoming a giver and not just a taker. I am such a taker. I get all the blessings. I'm not only blessed here, I have all heavenly blessings. Whew. I'd like to give some now. I'd like to invest what you've given me. Are you ready to give? So this is your opportunity. If you need to borrow a biro, let's see. Also, Andrew, if you grab these biros over here, there's a bucket of them. If somebody needs a pen, I need you to write on there. Don't put your name. Just say, I am or I am not a tither, but I'm going to be. I now understand what it means to give to missions, and this is what I'm going to start, on top of my tithe, start to commit to, so that our missionaries stay going and we can take on some new ones. You see, I'm asking you to give by faith, where you'll trust that God will give you money to give away. You know, when you become a giver, God's going to give you money to give away. I found that to be true, because He knows He can trust you with it. Give, secondly, as a promise. This isn't a thing where if there's money in my wallet, I'll give. No, you need to make a promise. Say, I'm going to make sure I have some money to give. They might need the pen. Put your biro. Put your hand up so the Andrew can throw it at you. Anybody needs a biro? Are you going to give by faith, secondly? Are you going to give as a promise? And thirdly, I'm not asking you to give to the church. I'm not asking you to give to me. I'm not asking you to give to anybody that you know. I'm asking you to give to missions, so that churches get started, so that more Edgar Figalis get out there. Folks, I've never won a Muslim yet, but I have such a burden for them. He's doing it. I want to help him and people like him continue to do what I can't do. Will you give for mission, no matter where they are? Put that down. And then before you go, throw it in that box. You need to do it right now. You know what you need to do first off? You know what Romans 6:23 says? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to do something right now. If you're not born again, you can receive God's greatest gift He ever gave, which is forgiveness. Eternal life. Jesus did what you could never do. He died in your place to save you from your sin. I'd ask you to come and talk to me and say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'll set you down with somebody who will answer every one of your questions, who will pray with you and help you know that today you got saved. We're not just talking about, it's not baptism, it's not laying hands on, it's you and God and the account being settled, all your sins being forgiven. You can receive the gift of God. Secondly, get right with your Savior right now. What do I mean by that? Admit that you have a hard, unforgiving heart. You have an ungiving heart, even. Ask God to forgive you for holding on to such an attitude, and ask God right now to help you become a giver. And thirdly, like you're doing, fill out that give it or get that commitment card and ask God to make you into a regular giver now. And then come back tonight, because we're going to talk about charity. And charity is different than you imagine. Father, I've done my best. As we bow our heads right now, and as we battle with the flesh, we battle with our mind, we battle with what we see and what we think, God, would you help us to see this is not a battle with our wallet. It's a battle with our heart. And it's whether we're going to trust you and do things your way, or whether we're just going to do things we've always done, and we'll fail. You taught us how to give. This isn't so that we can do something great for ourselves. This is so that we can get the gospel to people who will never hear otherwise. So that churches could be started, buildings could be built, Sunday schools could be begun anywhere in the world, just because a little church like us helped. It's not going to happen unless we start. We already give. Can we really give? I pray that we do. Let somebody in this room who's finding it hard to give realize maybe they've never received your gift. The gift of your Son. The gift of eternal life. I pray, Lord, please help us this morning to become givers. In Jesus' name, amen.